I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Emily Kaltenbach. She is New Mexico State Director of the Drug Policy Alliance and Ambassador Joseph Wilson, who are here to talk about the petition to change marijuana laws in Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Nice to be with you.
Thanks.
So there is a petition that is going on right now that would change laws in these two cities. What is the nature of municipal laws about marijuana as opposed to state and federal laws?
So we have an opportunity to change our city ordinances, both in the city of Santa Fe and the city of Albuquerque. Both these cities actually have their own marijuana ordinances for small possession. So our campaign is actually to make changes to the city ordinance, not change state law or federal law.
How would the laws, the ordinances in these two cities be changed by the petitions?
So basically we're decriminalizing the possession of small amounts of marijuana, an ounce or less of marijuana for personal use and paraphernalia for personal use would become a $25 fine, and we'd take away any chance for jail time.
And so if you are still having to pay a fine, but it's not a crime, what is it?
Well, in Santa Fe, it would actually become a civil penalty, not unlike a parking ticket. Otherwise, it is considered a criminal misdemeanor, and criminal misdemeanors really can follow people and haunt them for the rest of their lives. And so the collateral consequences of having a criminal misdemeanor on your record can be quite significant to an individual. So it's really important that we're moving this to a civil penalty where it's no longer a crime here in Santa Fe. But, you know, you still have to pay your fine, and if you don't show up and pay your fine, same thing can happen as if you have a stack of parking tickets that accumulate. So it's still prohibited to possess marijuana, but it would no longer be considered a crime.
And not only marijuana, but the paraphernalia for using it, for smoking it, which I've always found a little odd because, I mean, how do you distinguish between one pipe and another pipe?
Yeah, and most people don't know that actually under the city code here in Santa Fe, you can end up serving up to 3 months in jail for paraphernalia, but only 2 weeks in jail for possession of marijuana for ounce or less.
So if you go to a music festival and buy some lovely blown glass pipe with an African mask on it, which I've seen things like that, you can go to jail.
Technically. I mean, obviously, I would hope that our law enforcement, you know, in that situation would use their discretion wisely. But, you could end up 3 months in jail.
So where is this movement for the petitions in these two cities coming from?
I think we can look to this shift that's happening nationally and even internationally, where we're seeing most voters say it's time to reform our archaic marijuana laws. And this initiative is quite modest if we look at what's happening in Washington and Colorado or in Uruguay, for example, where they've actually outright legalized marijuana, the first country to ever legalize marijuana. So, you know, what we're trying to do is really listen to the voice of the voters. And what we know here in New Mexico is that the majority of voters want to legalize, and an even greater number want to reduce penalties, like we're trying to do here in Santa Fe. So this is a movement that we are in New Mexico just in the beginning of sort of jumping on board. But I think it's pretty significant to see this shift in public opinion.
I think it's important also to recognize that these marijuana laws impact disproportionately minorities and the youth of America. And so, you know, you're an 18-year-old kid, you smoke some pot, you get busted. That will follow you around the rest of your life. And if you are black or brown, you're more likely to get busted and have that criminal record. Putting more people in jail, that's not the most productive way of helping them get on with their lives. And so this is designed actually to try and put some proportionality back into what the vestiges of the marijuana laws. As Emily said, in Washington, Colorado, obviously, they've now legalized it. I was just in Colorado, and that process has gone very smoothly. And the population I spoke to in a well-to-do community of Crested Butte was really sort of relieved to have this particular prohibition fight behind them.
What does it look like? What did you see when you were in Colorado?
Well, I found already a marijuana business that was much more mature than the one that's here in New Mexico, where you have a medical marijuana program, which was a model for the country when it was first introduced. But it's a little bit more industrialized in Colorado, in the sense that the products sort of appear to be more professional in their production and product placement and everything.
Branding,
the whole thing, sure.
Right. Now, one of the arguments against marijuana prohibition and against drug prohibition in general has been that they give rise to cartels, horrifying, violent, underground black markets and criminal gangs of, you know, international criminal gangs of every kind. And that if you were to legalize and regulate, this industry would be in the hands of upstanding citizens who were doing this. Do we have any data about what that looks like, if there's been any kind of shift in Colorado?
What we know is that the underground market just here in the U.S. alone is sort of a $30 billion market.
$30 billion.
And given that Colorado just started in January, I think, you know, time will tell to see how it'll undercut the black market there. You know, I was listening to some really interesting commentary coming out of California when the medical movement came on board and was more institutionalized, and people were saying, you know, people who were engaged in the underground market said, we had to move to New York City because our market was totally decimated because of the medical marijuana movement. So I can't imagine that we'd see the same happen in Colorado and Washington once a formal tax and regulated market comes on board.
I think the model to look at is prohibition, the inter-prohibition. And after a period of adjustment, as these industries get moved into sort of a legal and regulatory framework, you'll see the cartels, the vestiges of the cartels will have to move into other criminal activities because marijuana will no longer be lucrative to them.
Which is kind of scary when you think about that.
Or they will disband and move into legal enterprises.
So has this been done, this kind of petition to change ordinances in other municipalities in the United States?
For marijuana specifically?
Yes.
Actually, we could look at both Denver and Seattle. Both cities over a decade ago, Seattle more recently than that, have decriminalized small amounts of marijuana. So here are two states that decriminalized in their two largest municipalities. They had a very formal and well-run medical marijuana program, and now they've moved to tax them regulated. So I think you can see that
a trajectory.
There is definitely a trajectory in those states. And so, but other municipalities around the country have done so, smaller ones, and others have tried to do this. But Ann Arbor is one. What we're doing here is definitely not unique. And also over 16 states have decriminalized. So not only municipalities through an ordinance change or a charter change, but states, most recently Maryland, have decriminalized small amounts.
Which is stopped short of legalization the way Colorado and Washington have done. But
it's really states and municipalities acting as laboratories as we think through what the future of marijuana within our society should be. Any number of people have made the comment that there's enough evidence anecdotally for medical marijuana. And in terms of legalizing marijuana for recreational use, why don't we let the municipalities and the states begin to work that process and see what comes of it?
Particularly since nothing can happen in Washington, apparently.
Well, and speaking of Washington, on that point, on Monday, the White House came out with a very formal statement indicating that marijuana reform at a state and a local level is a state rights issue. And this was in response to Washington, D.C. having recently passed a decriminalization measure, not unlike what we're trying to do here in Santa Fe, making it a $25 fine and taking away jail time. And Congress is trying to block the ability of D.C. to move forward with their initiative. And the White House said, come on, people, let's not block the, you know, this This was voted on by the full city council unanimously, or and definitely supported by the voters. They should have the right to move forward. And as Joe said, let's make these the laboratories. We're going to learn a lot in the next couple of years to inform our federal reform efforts.
We're talking to Emily Kaltenbach and Joe Wilson about marijuana reform here in Santa Fe and in Albuquerque. Now, who is lining up against this petition and against this movement here in Santa Fe and Albuquerque?
We really haven't seen any organized opposition, which is really encouraging. In fact, when we're going out and getting signature petitions, 8 out of 10 people sign the petition in support of decriminalization. So, you know, when we were in the state legislature, we did hear from the District Attorney's Association and the Sheriff's Association. Both those associations were not in favor of legalization. But to date, we haven't had any indication that there's an organized movement in opposition to what we're trying to do.
What is the stance? I mean, we've had law enforcement against prohibition on this show many times over the last 10 years, and that is a group that is made up of often retired law enforcement folks and judges and so on who have looked at and really seen the devastation of prohibition on their communities. Now, do we have a sense of where law enforcement stands in general in New Mexico, in the United States?
Well, you know, I can speak just to what we've seen here locally, and that is behind closed doors, law enforcement will say, we have more pressing issues to deal with than marijuana, and let's free up our resources so we can, it really becomes a public safety issue. They'd rather have the time and the resources to deal with violent crime, property crime, and, you know, I've been told by many police officers they've never gone to a domestic violence call because of marijuana. But they are still, you know, very much a rank and file organization. And until leadership in a given organization comes out in favor, they're very much quiet on the issue. But I think that we'll start seeing that to change.
And it becomes a budget item for them. If marijuana is legalized, then budget for enforcing marijuana laws suddenly goes away. So there's a bureaucratic issue involved in the way they look at it as well.
So they do get quite a bit of funding for the so-called war on drugs.
Sure.
And if that goes away, what does that mean for police departments?
Well, then they're going to be underfunded on that particular line item, but it frees them up to deal with real crime.
Right.
Real serious crime.
Now, what about the private prison industry? I would think that they would be very much against any kind of drug legalization.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that occur in California when Prop 19 was introduced. In fact, that was a very organized movement in opposition of legalization in California. You know, I would imagine that here it would be too if we move forward with legalization. In fact, many of our small county jails are privately run. And that's where most people end up when they are arrested and incarcerated for marijuana possession.
I think they have a real conflict of interest involving themselves in this whatsoever. That doesn't mean that they're
you
not
think?
Going to do it. But it should be understood they have a real conflict of interest. And my own view of this is the sovereign has a monopoly on whether you can incarcerate people. The sovereign should not be permitted to contract the terms and conditions of that incarceration out to the private sector. If a sovereign's going to incarcerate, the sovereign ought to be responsible for the terms and conditions of that incarceration. But that's a somewhat different subject.
What does this mean? Let's say that the petition is successful, the ordinances are changed, marijuana laws in Santa Fe and Albuquerque become civil penalties rather than criminal misdemeanors. What about state and federal laws, which are different, and which Trump municipal laws, I think.
Yeah, it does. What we're doing will not change state law. And in fact, law enforcement will still have the discretion to charge under the state law in both the city of Santa Fe and Albuquerque. But what we're also including in the language of these ballot initiatives is a very strong principle statement, and that is marijuana will be the lowest law enforcement priority. So in addition to changing the penalties, we're also really hoping to change the culture of the law enforcement in both cities so that they do choose to charge under their own city ordinance. So far, we've collected close to 7,000 signatures of people in support. These are people who live in our community who are in support. When the police hear that, you know, their community is in support of reducing penalties, we hope that that message is heard loud and clear by police, and they'll end up not charging under the state law.
By police and also by the Martinez administration in general. As you may know, the Martinez administration is attempting to tighten the rules and regulations on the medical marijuana program in a way that would really disadvantage people who benefit from it but live in rural areas, or veterans who are suffering from PTSD. They're just going to make it much more restrictive and much more costly for patients. So this is a good turnout on this issue would send a signal to them that maybe they ought to rethink what their policy approach on medical marijuana, as well as on decriminalization more broadly, should be.
Well, we talked about private prisons a moment ago. We should also talk about the pharmaceutical industry, which the more this kind of movement happens nationally, the more they're going to be hurt.
Well, I wrote about this for the Albuquerque Journal a couple of weeks ago, in which we pointed out that with respect to the veterans population, a good many of them, as many of them are dying from drug overdose, accidental drug overdose.
Prescription drug overdose.
Prescription drug overdose, as are dying by suicide. That basically makes it an epidemic. And these are kids who are coming home with traumatic injuries, with advanced PTSD, and they put them on these prescription drug regimes, and they end up ODing. And a lot of them, and what we've found in talking to these veterans here in New Mexico, is using marijuana for PTSD has been really beneficial and helped them reintegrate into their communities, help them deal with day-to-day life and outside of combat zone.
What does all of this have to say, if anything, about the cultivation of marijuana plants? If this becomes a minor civil misdemeanor like a parking ticket, what if a cop finds that you have a marijuana plant in your house?
So it doesn't change the law when it comes to cultivation. And typically, it's up to the police officer's discretion whether to charge that individual for cultivating. They would charge under, there isn't an ordinance in the city code around cultivation, so they would charge under the state law. However, I just sort of reiterate that we're trying to change the culture of law enforcement here in the city of Santa Fe to make it the lowest priority. So, we'd be hopeful that the law enforcement officer would say, okay, they're growing one plant. It's not worth my time to charge this person, arrest them, book them, send them through the criminal justice system for cultivating one plant. And so that's the only way this ordinance would really interact with cultivation, would be around making it a lowest law enforcement priority.
We're talking to Emily Kaltenbach of the Drug Policy Alliance and Ambassador Joe Wilson. Now, this is Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Does this have any ramifications for the rest of the state?
Well, as folks will remember, over the last couple of years, we've been introducing various marijuana reform legislative efforts at the state level. 2 years ago, Representative Emily Kane introduced a penalty reduction bill not unlike what we're seeing in Santa Fe and Albuquerque, and actually that was 4 ounces or less would make it a civil infraction and take away any jail time. And that passed with bipartisan support out of the House chamber. And unfortunately, it was passed at the end of the session, so it didn't have enough time to go through the Senate. But I think that's a huge indication that our legislature is ready to pass marijuana reform. Then the following year, a constitutional amendment was introduced to tax and regulate, and that unfortunately didn't make it out of its first committee. But what these two efforts here in Santa Fe and Albuquerque are doing is really showing our electeds that their constituents are in favor. And so when we go back with statewide legislation, we will have a base of voters, both, you know, think about the number of voters in Albuquerque and Santa Fe collectively will represent a huge portion of our New Mexico voters, that we can say, look, people are ready. You know, start voting with your constituents. This is not a third rail issue anymore, and they shouldn't be afraid of losing their seats if they end up supporting some sort of marijuana legislation.
Particularly if taxation is extremely successful in Colorado. I mean, when you have money flowing into your coffers, that makes a very big difference.
You become a believer.
Yeah. But at the same time, this could pass both houses of the New Mexico legislature with flying colors. But if Governor Susana Martinez is reelected, I mean, I can't imagine that she would ever sign a bill of that nature.
Well, that would be unfortunate because that would not be representing the interests of her constituency, of the citizens of New Mexico, who have been polled time and time again at over 50% in support of legalization of marijuana. And rather than being at the forefront of this particular issue, which we have been in New Mexico for the past decade, we'd once again sort of slip back towards the bottom, which is where we are in the Martinez administration in so many other areas.
In so many other areas. Now, if you have enough signatures, I guess you already have the signatures that you need. There's a minimum number of signatures in Santa Fe. How does it actually work? What happens next when you collect all those signatures?
So we have a minimum number to collect, and that's a little over 5,600 signatures. We've exceeded that number by at least 1,000. What we do is we submit those signatures to the city clerk. She has a 10-day period to verify those signatures. If we in fact meet the threshold, the legal threshold, the initiative goes in front of the city council here at their next city council meeting. And the city council really has two decisions. They can vote for the initiative outright, or they can send it to the ballot. And so at that meeting, they would then decide. And we assume they will send it to the ballot, because what we've heard is they would like their constituents to have a voice and a vote. Then it would be up to the city clerk and the county clerk to work together to try to put it onto the next election, on the ballot for the next election, which would be November. Now, if that doesn't happen, the city would be required to have a special election if the city council, in fact, votes to send it to the people and it doesn't end up on the November election.
One of the reasons we're still collecting signatures, even though we have more than what's required, is just to ensure that we have enough valid signatures, because a lot of people move around. And when they're signing these things, they may not be using the correct address, the right voting address. So just to make sure that we've got lots of cover, we want to get as many signatures on this as possible. So people really should come out and sign the petition. There are places on the website.
So here locally in Santa Fe, you can sign at Better Day Coffee. You can sign at Plaza Cafe on the south side and Video Library off Paseo de Peralta. So we just want to thank those businesses for hosting our petition drive. And they've been very courteous. So go in and please sign. You can also stop by the Drug Policy Alliance office here in Santa Fe, and that's 343 East Alameda.
343 East Alameda is the Drug Policy Alliance. Is there any chance of getting this on the state? Would it have to go through the legislature?
No, actually, in fact, the city clerk and the county clerk would work together to put it on a shared ballot for the November election.
For Santa Fe County?
For the city of Santa Fe. So only city of Santa Fe residents would be allowed to vote on this, which I'd like to also highlight that you have to be you have to reside in the city of Santa Fe and be a registered voter in the city of Santa Fe to sign.
But in other words, getting it on the state ballot for the state of New Mexico, I'm asking this because I heard a news story that the New Mexico Secretary of State somehow didn't want to have any marijuana legislation. What was that?
There was some concern that if this ballot initiative was placed on the November ballot, that it would exceed 2 pages, and they were concerned about the length. When, in fact, we have never seen an initiative not be placed on the ballot if it went through the legal channels and was approved. So we're not sure where that is coming from. Again, leave it up to the city clerk and the county clerk to follow the law on how these ballot initiatives have to, the process in which they have to, or the thresholds they have to meet. And so I'd be surprised that our Secretary of State would want to disenfranchise voters from voting on an issue that they have petitioned to have a voice in.
Emily Kaltenbach is New Mexico's State Director of the Drug Policy Alliance, which is on the web at drugpolicy.org. We've also been joined by Ambassador Joe Wilson. If people want more information, they can go to the Drug Policy website and also the locations that you mentioned.
Yeah, actually, reducepenalties.com is our campaign website, and we have all of the locations listed both in Santa Fe and Albuquerque where people can go and sign the petition. Albuquerque, our campaign will wrap up at the end of July, the signature portion of it, so people still have an opportunity to sign in Albuquerque if you're a Albuquerque resident.
And presumably you need a lot more signatures in Albuquerque.
Over 11,000 are required.
Right. Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.